And now we look into the work of land surveyors. They pore over data from deeds and old maps, easements, roads. They prepare a survey plat that shows the actual location of a parcel of land and its boundaries. And they often have a role before property changes hands. A listener suggested we have a surveyor join us. Are you one, or did you get a survey done of your property? What was that like? What questions do you have about property boundaries? 800-642-1234 to join in. Ed Harvey is a licensed surveyor and engineer and president of the Wisconsin Society of Land Surveyors. Ed, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you very much.
Well, let's take us right into the field and introduce us to your equipment. What is the device on a tripod that we see surveyors use to make their measurements?
Nowadays, there's a lot of devices, and some of them are mounted on tripods. Probably the principal one that you see people looking through and maybe mistake as a camera is a total station. It's a multifunctional instrument that automatically records angles and distances and maybe even computes coordinates to a data recorder so it can be directly downloaded into a computer. It's a pretty complicated high-tech piece of equipment compared to what we were using, you know, back in the 60s and 70s and 80s.
Yeah, I'd imagine technology has changed a lot. That sounds like very fancy equipment. You know, how have real-time GPS and robotic instruments changed this work?
It's huge. GPS, of course, is the biggest thing. It's not the catch-all, save-all thing that people think it is. It doesn't do well under trees, so we got kind of a lax period during the summer when the world it can function in becomes smaller. But in the wintertime, we can go to town with it. And it's extremely accurate, way more accurate than anything we had done up until the time that GPS came available, and can be used for anything from boundary surveys to topographic surveys, that, you know, just about any application you can imagine.
So really versatile.
Yep.
Can you back up for us and describe the different types of land surveys and how they're used?
Well, there's, as far as land, you know, land surveyors work across a very broad area of practice, you know, from supporting engineers to mapping applications down to doing property surveys or boundary surveys, what you're calling a land survey. I guess I would lump those land surveys into a couple of different areas. One is we do plats of survey, and they're all filed with the county surveyor in each respective county once they're done. But those are just surveys of existing properties.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a property, you call a surveyor, say, I want to put up a fence, he'll come and do a plat survey for you and determine where those property lines are, where the property, if there's any encroachments back or forth across the property lines, and you know, mark those points in the field. The other thing is if you're desiring to create a completely new property that never existed before, a surveyor will come out to your property and survey it and create a new lot or lots, and that might be a subdivision plat, or it might be a certified survey map in Wisconsin, which is, and it's kind of a small subdivision plat. It's kind of unique to Wisconsin.
So what about the work of surveying involving highways and railroads? What is that work like?
Well, there's getting to be less and less railroad work around.
Okay.
Because there's getting to be fewer and fewer railroads around. But that's pretty fairly specialized. There aren't even a lot of surveyors that are familiar enough to work within railroads and on railroad infrastructure. Highways is probably the biggest area of practice for surveyors in Wisconsin. And we're hoping and expecting, I guess, even that this new infrastructure plan that we're seeing in the federal level is going to generate a lot of new work for surveyors our applications there are creating plats by which new highway rights of way can be acquired and purchased, but also supporting engineers by doing topographic surveys and construction staking of those new highways in the field. So a large part of our membership is specifically focused on highway work.
Is highway work more difficult in any way, or is it about the same as the other types of surveying?
I'm going to say that it's better defined. You know, what your end product is to be is better defined, because basically you're working for one customer, mm-hmm. or at least one oversight agency, which is the Department of Transportation. I wouldn't say it's harder, but it's fairly specialized.
Fairly specialized. So, you know, can you describe when you are doing the research? I would imagine the research component is also very important. Looking at old land maps, for instance, what information do you need in order to prepare a land survey?
You need to do some level of research, and nowadays a lot of it can be done on the, testing the my theory here to the gills right now with COVID, but nowadays a lot of research can be done online.
Mm-hmm.
Even copies out of a Register of Deeds office can be acquired in most counties, or I should say a lot of counties, I guess, online, especially in the southeastern or southern part of the state. Do some research in order to determine the extent of your client's ownership, you know, what they actually own on paper. And you need to see what surveys have been done of that property in the past or of adjacent properties. You also need to know a little bit about the ownership of those adjacent property owners to see that there's no overlaps in title or gaps in title. But it can be fairly extensive. Highway research is a whole other thing, because the primary resting spot of those is in the local municipal offices. In some counties, that stuff has been collected and gathered and stored in another place. But it's a lot of those are easements also. They're not fee ownerships.
Hmm.
So they just override over the top of what you're surveying. They're not an entity unto itself.
So some of this would be to, some of this is online, but also some of this is actually going through, I would imagine, filing cabinets and other storage areas to get at these maps.
That's very true. I was a county surveyor for 31 years, and I was the keeper of those filing cabinets and storage areas.
We're discussing the work of land surveyors with Ed Harvey, president of the Wisconsin Society of Land Surveyors. Have you ever had a dispute with your neighbor over property boundaries? How did you reach a resolution about that tree, about that fence? What have you always wanted to ask a land surveyor about their work? Have you seen them taking measurements for a project in your community? Join in 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. We'll be back in a minute with Ed Harvey right here on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. We're talking with Ed Harvey, president of the Wisconsin Society of Land Surveyors. This is a statewide organization formed almost 70 years ago, committed to the advancement of the surveying profession. And we're talking about this work thanks to a listener suggestion asking us to host a conversation about the work of land surveyors. Ed Harvey, he is with us for 10 more minutes. Mike is joining us from Cottage Grove. Hi, Mike. What would you like to say about surveying?
Well, yeah, we had a conflict with a neighbor over like essentially 2 feet. And I had the paperwork from the surveyor, and I showed him a couple times. And to make a long story short, he had a surveyor come in, and sure enough, I was right. But it got kind of touch and go for a little while, because he took a weed whip to my face.
Oh my goodness. So, yeah. So was this because you were looking at just property division, or was this because you wanted to add on, or why did it come up?
It was just existing, all existing, and it was just a mowing deal. And
a
one
mowing
day
deal. Okay.
Yeah. Make a long story short, but it got resolved, but it was kind of touch and go for a while.
Well, Ed Harvey, when do surveyors typically get called to look at residential properties?
Typically, there's a couple of things. First off, if somebody's building, they're going to be required to, often will be required to have a survey so that the agency, the town or the village or whoever's issuing the building permit knows that he's observing the setbacks that they require in their zoning ordinance or whatever correctly. The other thing is that if a property sale is sold, very often the lending institution will require a mortgage survey to make sure that there's no issues, encroachments back or forth across the property line, or property that's being held by an adjacent property owner, but which is rightly part of the property that's being described, in the sale. So those are the kinds of things that'll trigger surveys. Sometimes it's just two property owners not getting along or having a difference of opinion about where a property line is, and one of the people that can possibly help them with that is a surveyor if it's a physical encroachment. There is such a thing as title issues also, in which case you may have to deal with another professional to iron that sort of an issue out.
Has it ever come up where two property owners are in a dispute over boundaries, they each hire a surveyor, but those surveyors reach different results? How do you resolve the conflict at that point?
Usually, if there's the best thing is if two surveyors are talking from the beginning.
Okay.
So that one doesn't know something the other doesn't know, so that they are able to come to some sort of an agreement or understanding about where the other is, and either dispute it in a professional way, come to a agreement that between the two of them, this is where things ought to be and this is how it ought to be done.
We heard from Brian in Appleton, called in and wants to know, what would be an average cost to have Brian's house surveyed?
It depends an awful lot. There's a big range, and people often say, well, my buddy had his done and it was only this. But really, the number one issue is if a surveyor has done a survey of that property in the past or has done nearby surveys, that he's at least familiar with what's there in the subdivision or in the section that he's going to be working in. If a guy is coming in cold and fresh, it's probably going to cost a little more. And if he knows that there's issues in that subdivision, that there's problems, it's probably going to be a little more.
How do property boundaries work near water, where the land may change, you know, due to flooding or droughts or things like that?
Yeah, water boundaries are always fun. I had one surveyor friend who said never agree to do a job in a village that has a water street. So that's a little extreme, I guess, but water boundaries are a whole different set of problems, because as the water rises and falls, with streams, you actually own to the center of the stream, and what I'm saying now is some general things, not rules to live by. So you own to the center of the stream, subject to an easement for the flooded area. So as the water goes up and down the public highway, which is the stream, and it comes further into your property. On lakes, the state of Wisconsin holds the lake bed in trust, and as the water goes up and down again, it moves. Now, if it goes up and down overnight, there's a radical change by some event caused by God, the property line may move. If it may not move, so you'll continue to own to whatever the old property line was. But if the line slowly changes, you know, by accretion or erosion, you may wind up losing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a matter of being able to document how it changed, when it changed, and it can be... There's some really interesting things that have gone on in Wisconsin having to do with water boundaries.
We're talking with Ed Harvey, president of the Wisconsin Society of Land Surveyors. Jody is joining us from Monona. Hi, Jody.
Hi. My question is, when you have trees that are overhanging into your property, can you cut them off? I have a neighbor's tree that's about 15 feet in my property, and it's dripping sap all over my vehicle. So I'll take it off the air.
Jody, thanks. Ed?
Yeah, that's really a question for a lawyer more than a surveyor. A surveyor can tell you where the line runs through the trees, but I don't know that I would want to give somebody permission to start cutting on the neighbor's trees. I think a lawyer would tell you, though, that the overhanging part is fair game.
I would imagine attention to detail is really critical in your job. How do you feel about your ability to pay attention to the minute details?
Yeah, you can never be too observant. You know, sometimes the smallest thing is the key to understanding what's gone on there in the past and unraveling the history.
Yeah, so doing a bit of that detective work as well. What do you love about the work?
Well, that's it. It's you know, you're an archaeologist. You get to go out there and dig around in the dirt looking for traces of left behind by past surveyors. You're a historian. You get to go through all these old minutes of surveys and documents and stuff. You're a technician. You're into the most recent, you know, technology that's out there anywhere. It's no 2 days are the same.
Ed, thank you for joining us.
You bet. Thanks a lot for having us.
Ed Harvey is president of the Wisconsin Society of Land Surveyors. Just ahead, there's a new effort to change what schools teach about Native American history and how they go about it. We have the State Department of Public Instruction's consultant on American Indian Studies. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. It's The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.